chapter 3. I want to speak to you this morning about one word. I would say one word. You know, when I was first saved and I was with this particular group, and this particular group thought everybody should serve, and so we were kind of in this little bit of a Bible group, and so everybody had to preach on whatever verse the man threw at us. And so he was being funny, and he threw out, "Jesus wept." How do you preach on that? I believe it was me. I'm pretty sure it was. I stood up, and I just expected the Holy Spirit to give me a word. And I think for the next 30 minutes, I expressed how Jesus wept. The power of the Holy Spirit in His Word. Just one word. But watch this. Romans chapter 3, and go to verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through His redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed." One word, and that word is propitiation. Propitiation. Now, how many use that every day in your everyday language? I mean, you know, most of the time you're walking around, you're talking about propitiation, right? But I want you to try this. I am propitious. Listen. Propitiation. I'm propitious. I'm not. I might never be pronouncing that, but look. Turn to somebody else. Say, "I am propitious." Listen, you guys are all looking at me like, "Man, that's hard to even say." But after I'm through today, if you'll get what I'm talking to you about today, it will change you forever, and you'll go out of here different than you came in, and you'll use this today, tomorrow, and for the rest of eternity. He became a propitiation for us. Now watch this. I want to read you the definition of propitiation. It means the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. The act of making one propitious. In theology, the atonement or atoning, a sacrifice offered to God to this assuage of His wrath and render Him propitious to sinners. Christ is the propitiation from the sins of men. Now, that's kind of a little bit vague too. So I want to break it down a little bit. What does it mean to appease? Appease means to make quiet, to calm, to reduce, a state of peace. So, propitiation is the appeasement that's required because of sin that has been committed. Anybody ever sin? Right? If you're saying no, then you're a liar, because we just read that all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. We're all in that same boat. Now listen, what does it mean to be propitious? It means to be disposed to be gracious, to be merciful, to be ready to forgive sins and bestow blessings, favorable and kind. See, that's who God is to us. Now listen to me. Because of the blood of Jesus, He's disposed to be gracious and merciful, to forgive sins and bestow blessings. He's favorable and kind. And because I'm in Him, I am also not only a product of propitiation, I am propitious. Now look at everybody's heard the term reconciliation, but in the definition we heard the definition of, or the term conciliation. It's the act of winning or gaining as esteem, favor, or affection. See, we've been forgiven of our sins, and God, through His blood, has paid the price for us to be free. But it's not just that. It brought put us into a place of favor. Of favor. Now, I'll just kind of illustrate this a little bit. There used to be, there's a movie out, and I don't even know if I even saw the whole thing, but I saw parts of it. Joe and the Volcano. Does anybody remember that movie? Anybody? There's one or two. Well, here's the premise of the movie, that it was kind of a spoofy thing. I forget who was in it. Don't even remember all that. But this volcano on an island was angry, and every once in a while it erupted. So the people thought that that was a god, so that they wanted to make sure that god was not mad at them, because they didn't want that lava to flow and ruin their village, right? So what they had to do is they had to appease the volcano god. And the way they did that is a virgin was offered to the volcano. I know I was always late, but anyway, that's a whole different thing. But watch this. So they got this lady, and they got her all dressed up nice, and they were going to present her to the volcano, and they were going to throw her in to the volcano to appease the volcano god. That's what Jesus did. Jesus' blood and dying on the cross and Him taking our sins upon Himself, it appeased the wrath of God. God is no longer mad at us. God is no longer at war with us, because the peace has been established, because we have been reconciled to Him. Now watch this. We were talking about the homeless, talking about the women's retreat, all of that. Now we are the ministers of reconciliation, to tell people that God's wrath was put on Jesus so that you don't have to be a partaker of it. Right? Powerful, powerful, powerful. But we need to begin to see ourselves under the umbrella of the propitiation. Glory to God. Now let's go back there to that. Verse 25, talking about Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. Everybody say, by His blood, through faith. Whose faith? Your faith in what? Nope. Nope. Come on. Your faith in what? Read it again. What's that? Nope. Read the verse again. By the propitiation of His blood, through faith, to demonstrate the righteousness of God. It's faith in the blood of Jesus. It's faith that the blood of Jesus was the propitiation for our sins. It was faith that displayed His love for us, so that the wrath is taken away. And by His blood, we've been made nigh unto the Son of God. So all of those answers were correct, but in this particular case, it's faith in the blood. I said faith in the blood. We're going to talk about the blood a little bit this morning. I said we're going to talk about the blood this morning. The devil's mad right now. The devil doesn't like it right now, but I don't care. Because the blood of Jesus is the very thing that separated us from the father of the devil, the father of the enemy, and we became engrafted into the Father of light. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, yeah. It'll never, 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 never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain, yes it does, and it flows to the lowest of valleys. Of the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never, 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 never lose. Oh, it'll never, 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 never lose its power. Come on, the blood. The blood, I'm talking about the blood, but it's my faith in the blood. It's my taking God at His Word and my saying, God, You're no longer mad at me, but You have taken away the penalty that's associated with my sin. You've taken it out of the way and I'm no longer the man who I was, the woman that I was. I am now a child of the Most High God, and I'm not just barely in, but I have His favor over me. I have His kindness over me because my past has been appeased. So I've been conciliated into His kingdom. Oh God, I'm going to preach me happy. You can come along if you want. Glory to God. Go to chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. We're talking about the blood now, the blood. And let's start in verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who's that for? Come on, it's for all, but who benefits from that? Those who believe. That's why we've got to tell them. That's why we've got to present to them. Now, we talk about sin because sin is real and we present truth and all of that, but we have to do it from the standpoint of that we're all in the same boat and God has already paid the price for you to be cleansed and to be whole and to be right with Him. God is no longer mad at you. And I tell you, there was a price already paid for your sin, but the only thing that can bring you to that place is for you to believe in Him. Come on. But Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I said, Jesus loves me. Verse 9 says, much more having now been justified by His blood. Everybody say, justified by His blood. Justified by His blood. I don't have to justify myself to anyone because I've been justified by His blood. I've been so I may not measure up to you and I'm sorry for that. I may not be exactly who you need me to be, and I'll work on that. But as far as me and God are concerned, I've already been justified by His blood. See, He paid the price. He was the propitiation for my sin. He appeased the wrath that was associated with my lack, and He's justified me. What's a great definition of justified? It's just as if I'd never. Just as if I'd never. And it's not me that worked for it. It's not me that says I've earned it, or you know, because I prayed enough, because I fasted enough, because I did anything enough. It's because He paid the price for me. His blood. I'm justified because of the blood. So when I talk about the blood, I'm talking about my justification. Glory to God. When condemnation, how many know condemnation is not from God? When you're feeling like, oh man, I blew it, I'll never amount to anything, blah, 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 blah. And just I can't say it any other way, but puking all of that negativity over yourself. Because the enemy wants to keep you that way. What I need you to say is, wait a minute, let me just tell you about the blood. Let me tell you about the blood of Jesus. I believe that the blood was enough. The blood is enough. I've told this story before, but it just fits here, so I'm going to tell it one more time. And get this, and think about this over yourself. And especially when a state of condemnation comes to you, you think about what you could have done, what you should have done, what, you know, and if out of only, and if all of those kind of things, if you've confessed it before God, it's under the blood and it's been justified. Years ago, there was a woman in church, and she came to church, and she was a drug addict, and that caused her to get into prostitution and so many other different things that kind of lifestyle can lead somebody to. But she got saved, she got filled, and she was in church for a year, man, and she was just doing good. God had totally changed her life. She was not the same woman. She didn't. I'm looking at Rita over here. Just a side note. Rita came to our church years and years ago. It was at the Burley School. And she came in one way, and I saw her. And if I had a picture of her, you know those before and after pictures? If when I first saw her, you saw the before picture. And then after a year, and I'm telling you, a year in the Word of God, and God washing over her with the Word of God, she was a completely different person. Appearance, everything, because God did a work on the inside of her because she was justified. So after a year, all of a sudden the pastor's son decided, you know, I kind of like her. And so they started talking and going out and whatever, and they fell in love. So the pastor's son made the announcement, I am going to marry Mary. I don't know what her name was, but Mary. And the board of elders got upset. Because here was the pastor's son who was completely holy. Right? I mean, he'd been raised in church. He was groomed to go into the ministry, and they kept protection around him. And they went, oh, we're not sure that's a good idea because of Mary's past. That's not the woman that we envisioned for you to be with. She may not be the one that can help you be propelled into the ministry that we know that God has for you. And it was such a deal that they were going to have this big board meeting after church on Sunday. So that day came and they all met and they were all talking and whatever. And the pastor's son walked in. And he walked in and you know, they'd all kind of said a few things. And the pastor's son said, I just have one thing, one question to ask you. Yes, what's that? Is the blood enough? Is the blood enough? I'm telling you that faith in the blood is what leads us to being justified. And that justification means it's just as if I'd never. I'm a product of propitiation. My sins have been forgiven. There was a price paid that appeased the wrath that was due to me because of the sin. But it's not just that. I've come back into the favor of God. You know, we talk about and we look at the prodigal son story, and it's awesome that the son came back. But if you look at the father, the father didn't go up to him, okay, you can come back, but I need you to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this again to make up for what you did. I find it interesting that the son came back, and the first thing that the man said was, go get the bull, go get the cow. We're going to slaughter the calf. Come on, we're going to slaughter the calf. Why? Because he was going to have a feast, but also the remission of sins is by the blood. Come on. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So I believe what it was stating is that this is the covenant meal of the return of my son. Jesus said it this way. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Glory to God. When we take of that cup, we're taking and partaking of the very thing that Jesus did on the cross. He appeased whatever was between me and God forever. Glory to God. Through Him, come on, verse 10, we were enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, we have been reconciled. We shall be saved by His life. In other words, come on, I'm justified by His blood. But not just that. Because of what He did in me, now I can live my life like I belong to Him. I can live my life like He really is in me. I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Understand that when I'm telling this story, I'm telling it for the glory of God. There's two things this week that have happened where because I'm justified, because God is no longer mad at me, because His favor is upon me, His kindness has been toward me. I had two opportunities. In one opportunity, I was asked to go, or I volunteered actually to go to a lady's hospital room who's in liver failure, a bunch of different things. And she's a Christian, but she was in fear. But I said, Lord, when I go, You're going with me. And you know how you do when you're thinking about something, you go, well, I could say this, I could say that, I could say this, I could do this, and maybe I should do this, or maybe I blah, blah, blah. And I just said, shut up, Bruce. Stop it. Trust that in the self same hour, if He's going with you, He'll give you the words to speak. So I'm sitting in the hospital room, and before I went in, I felt impressed of the Lord that to tell her that there were her angel was in the room. I don't see that stuff, but I sense it. Right? But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God filled that hospital room. And peace came to her. Why? Because I am an ambassador. That means that I speak for. That means God gives me words to say and I say them. And my whole job is to proclaim reconciliation to those who are outside of peace, back to peace. Those that are unsaved, they need to be saved. They need to understand how much God loves them. But for us who are saved, we need to have our minds reminded. We need to begin to admonish one another about who He is. But I can do that because I have the life of God on the inside of me. Glory to God. Second story, Jeremiah and I were talking with another friend of ours, and their church are going through something. But when we were talking, we're just at breakfast, but the Spirit of God came on us. And we're able to speak some things, and he's going, oh, this is good. I got to take notes. This is good. This is. Yeah, there's some things that come because you've been in ministry for a long time, but really it's like that's just knowledge. But when inspiration comes, because the life of God is on the inside of you, it makes a full difference. But there's an expectation for that I have because I know that I've been justified because the blood has been applied to my life and to your life. Come on. I better hurry, but I'm not going to hurry. So look at this. Now go down to verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace, that's favor, that came because of the propitiation, might reign through Jesus or through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, death was in my life before Jesus, but life is in my life now because of Jesus. Come on. I'm not walking under a cloud, I'm walking under the cloud. Come on. The glory cloud. In fact, the glory isn't over me, it's in me. So many times we're praying for God, come down. He's going, look down, I'm right here. Right? It's finished, I'm already here. Lord, we need more of your glory. So how much do you need? You got it all. Right? Now, I understand we need the product of that. But I think the more that we surrender to Him and the more we become aware of what He's done and then just begin to live in it by faith in the blood. The blood was enough, Lord. The blood was enough to redeem me. The blood was enough to make me who you need me to be so that I can do what you want me to do. The blood was enough, God, and I'm going to stand in that. When you tell me to do something that's impossible, Lord, I'm standing in the blood. I'm covered with the blood. I'm telling you, Father, that I can do it because Christ is in me, the anointing, glory to God, and the anointed one is on the inside of me. Glory to God. Because I'm a product of propitiation. Glory to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We might skip a few verses because of time, but write down Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 20. We probably won't read those today. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, I need you to read this. And as we read this, see yourself as a product of the finished work of Jesus. This is who I am. This is who He's made me to be. I've got troubles, right? I mean, all of us have struggles. All of us have things that are going on living our life. Right? Bodies aching, flat tires, bills, you know, whatever. We've got all of that. But you've got to see yourself different than that. If you're focused on that, you'll get pulled back into uncertainty, frustration, depression. But if you'll continue to look upon the blood and have faith in the blood, He'll lead you to peace, joy, come on, comfort, long-suffering. Look at this. In Him we have redemption. In Him, Jesus, we have redemption. What does that mean? I'm bought back. I'm bought back. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Let me just tell you about redemption for just a second. Redemption, I think the closest thing that I can come to, an example of that is if you had a chainsaw, and you said, I need some money. So I'm going to go down to the pawn shop and he's going to give me $50 for this $300 or $400 chainsaw. So I get the $50, but he gives me this redemption ticket. He gave me $50, but if I pay him $75 back, then I can have the chainsaw back. So I go in there and I pay the redemptive price of $75 and then the chainsaw is mine. But once I have the receipt for that being paid, the owner of the pawn shop could run after me and say, oh, wait a minute, you're taking my... No, it's not your saw because I redeemed it. God's saying over you, when the devil comes and accuses you, excuse me, they're redeemed. And I got the receipt because it was the blood of my Son on the cross. And it was considered holy. It was considered righteous. And He who knew no sin became sin. That they're now redeemed. Come on, I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed. Woo! Anyway. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Look at verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. You ever thought about that? Jesus died on the cross for you. For you. And it was God's good pleasure to put you there. Has anybody ever given you something you go, man, that's too much? And they say, you know, it was my pleasure. I know you're thanking me, and that's really good, but it was my pleasure. What does that mean? I wanted to do it. It brought me joy to do it. Come on. You received something. I'm grateful for that, but the act of giving it to you brought me joy. That's you. To God. It's my pleasure. You're my pleasure. I mean, the act was my pleasure. Which he planned it. Whatever. So good. So good. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that when Jesus came, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both that are in heaven, that are on earth. And him also we've obtained an inheritance. Because of the propitiation, because of the blood, I now have an inheritance. And that inheritance is in him. And it's in him that I live and I move and I have my being. And every promise that he's promised in the Word is mine. Not because I've done it right, not because I've done enough, not any of that, but because the price was paid. And that put me into his favor. And he's kind to me. He loves me. He's not condemning me. His banner over me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Come on. Can you take some more? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The blood of the Lamb was shed for me. Now I want to tell you that the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and all of the ritual sacrifices. Did you know that everything in the Bible points to Jesus? Everything is about Jesus. Every one of the law, everything is about, it points to Jesus. It's about Jesus. So all of the things that were done in the Old Testament were done as a type or a shadow of what Jesus was going to accomplish. Now, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, which I don't claim to be an expert on, but what they would do is they would take the bull or the sacrifice and they'd drain it of its blood. And then they'd take that blood as it had been offered for the sacrifice and they'd dip a hyssop branch in it. And then what they do is they go to other furniture that's in the temple, and as they're cleansing and getting ready to go into the Holy of Holies, they take that hyssop branch and go like this. I was raised Catholic. I know exactly what that looks like. I was an altar boy, and we had the holy water thing and the incense thing that went like this, and the priest would flick holy water on everybody. But under the old system, God required that they would sling blood with the hyssop branch. But under the new system, God wants you to be slinging blood with your tongue. Glory to God. I plead the blood of Jesus over this. I plead the... Listen, if you're in court, if you're trying to win your case, if you're trying to defend yourself, say, well, Your Honor, all I have to say is, I plead the blood. Oh, case dismissed. I plead the blood. Case dismissed. Satan's attacking me. I'm just going to plead the blood. Thank you very much. Satan, right now, I know what you're saying is true, that I'm not worthy. All that stuff is probably true. But I plead the blood because there was a price paid that made me right with God. I've been redeemed back to Him, and it's through His blood that I've been made right. I'm just going to plead the blood. Your Honor, I plead the blood. Come on. This preacher talks about, and he's talking about his mama. He said, if you're raised in my house, mama pleaded the blood over everything. I mean, you'd have a cut. I plead the blood of Jesus over that cut. Because the blood produced healing. When when bills started to mount, I plead the blood of Jesus over those bills because He shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because I've been redeemed and I plead the blood. I plead the blood. He said, this is funny. He said, I brought this girl home my senior year. I was really liking her, really interested in her. And I brought this girl in. She came in the kitchen and mom saw that I was interested in her. And she said, I plead the blood of Jesus over that. Because that wasn't the one, right? That wasn't the one. I plead the blood of Jesus. Devil, you're not going to get my son. You're not going to take him away from what his destiny is. I plead the blood over my children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think we ought to sling blood everywhere. I said, we think we should just sling blood everywhere. Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 12, it says this. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Do you get that? Once and for all. Sometimes we act that, God, I really did a big one. Jesus, would you mind getting back up on that cross? Because I really need some help here. No, we just have to sling some blood. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be sorry. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have repentance. I'm not saying that we shouldn't even moan and groan over some of the offensive things that we do. But at the end of the day, the only way that I could be justified is because the blood has been applied. But it already happened. It's already done. So how do I walk into that forgiveness? By faith. What does faith look like? Jesus, you said it. I accept it. I may not feel it. It may not make sense to me, right? How could I have the favor of God over me? I know me. I know my thoughts. I know what I do. I know what I've done. How can I have the favor of God over me? Because He said I do. It's because of the blood. Glory to God. How can I be free from this thing that's reigning over me? Because of the blood. Because death reigned through sin, but righteousness is now reigning because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, death has no power over me because Jesus has appointed me to peace. Oh, glory to God. For if the blood of bulls and goats, verse 13, and ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Did you know the blood of Jesus is the answer for your conscience? Yeah, but you don't understand the blood. Yeah, but my mama was like this, my daddy was like this, my grandpappy, the blood. I plead the blood. We've had this in our family and that in our family. I'm going to plead the blood right here. Thank you very much. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. God couldn't love me. I could never accomplish the blood. But my family doesn't accept me the way I'm the family. The blood. I just plead the blood. I just thank you for the blood. The blood is enough. Come on. Watch this. It's purged me. Cleansed me. And my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, until we see the full potential of the blood, we'll never see our potential to serve. How can I go talk to that person about Jesus? The blood. Yeah, but I don't have the blood. Yeah, but I'm not the blood. I can do what I can do because of the blood. In fact, I'm crucified with Christ. That means the blood was applied. I came into covenant with Him. And the life that I'm living now, I'm living by faith in the Son of God, who died and gave Himself for me. I'm preaching because of the blood. I'm acting because of the blood. I'm laying hands on the sick because of the blood. I'm casting out devils because of the blood. It's not me. It's not because of who I am. It's because of who He is. The blood. I just need to plead the blood over myself. I have to remind myself of the blood. Go to chapter 10. I'm skipping a lot of things, but go over chapter 10. I might talk about this next week too. Verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brother, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That makes me weep. Even right now, His presence is in the room. I don't deserve that in my flesh. But I entered into it by faith in the price that was paid for me. That I can now come into His presence. Watch this. And I belong there. You belong there. You belong in the throne room of God. You do. When you pray, don't pray like He's a million miles away and your effort is going to get you closer to Him. Or your bad behavior is going to keep you away from Him. Because under those conditions, the law is put back into place. And it's not by the law that we enter into the Holy of Holies. It's by the blood of the Lamb. Whew, glory to God. Verse 20. By a new and living way which He consecrated us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to our profession or our confession. The word profession or confession here, it doesn't mean what we think it means exclusively. When we think about confession, most of us think about, I need to confess my sin. I've messed up again. And if you did, you do need to do that. But this means, I'm going to say the same thing as what God says. So if He says I'm holy, I'm holy. If He says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. If He says I can do it, I can do it. If He says I can have it, I can have it. Not because of me, but because the price has been paid and there was a propitiation that appeased the wrath that would keep me out of those things and have now brought me near to Him. Oh, glory to God. Now look at this, because this is really important. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I need to remind you that the blood has been applied to your heart. I need to remind you that God can use you because the blood has been applied to you. I need to remind you that you can do whatever He puts in your heart because He's done it. And the reason that He's done it is He wants to use you to help somebody else. His anointing is upon you. When we say that, sometimes it seems so spiritual. But really, that just means He's touched you to touch somebody else. It's kind of simple, but how do I draw upon it? By faith? What does faith look like? I'm going to act on it, whether I feel it or not. I'm going to walk into the hospital room. I'm going to go on the outreach. I'm going to, do whatever God's put on my heart to do. I'm going to go into business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that because God's put it on my heart, but I'm going to do it by faith. And I'm going under the blood. But let us consider one another to stir up love and to good works. In other words, we need to be together to do that. Now watch this next verse. Because this is used a lot, especially by pastors who want people in their churches. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more that you see the day of the Lord approaching. How many believe Jesus is coming soon? then this would pretty much apply to us, wouldn't it? But watch this. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As much as I love all of you online, and it's awesome that you are, and I'm so glad that we've got this means, and God is using it, I'm grateful for it, it's not the same as you being here. Now, if you can't be, I understand that, and it's not a problem, not condemnation, but here's the deal. You don't come here just because you need me. You come here because I need you. You need you, and you need her, and he needs her. Why is that? Because the blood has been applied to each one of us. And through that blood, the gifting comes so that we can encourage one another, that we can talk to one another. You might have what I need. It may be a word. It may be some encouragement. It may be just doing something for me. But it's by the power of God. And that's why, because of the blood, and because of the position the blood has put us in, we need one another. Woo! Glory to God. I need you. Right? You need me. Even if you don't like me. Right? Yeah. Well, you can love somebody and not like them. I've proven that out. But watch this. Watch this. And there are times where you love somebody a lot, but you don't like them at the moment. Anyway, we all know that's true, right? But that has no bearing on the need. Whether I like you or love you, I still need you. Oh, people would get a hold of that. That helps some marriages right here, right now. Right? But watch. I need you to know that the blood has been applied to you. I need you to talk about the blood. I need you to remind yourself. I need you to sing blood songs. Why? Have you ever noticed that the more you listen to a certain song, the more it gets into you? You're not going to believe this. But I think when I started singing about One Toke Over the Line, Sweet Jesus, back in the day, it increased my level of THC, right? Don't look at me so holy. But watch it, that was years and years ago. But the more I sing about the blood, the more it becomes strong on the inside of me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You get something this morning? Come on. I told you, now if you put this into practice, it'll change who you are today, right now. It'll change who you are tomorrow. Your tomorrow will be different than today, and next week you'll be a whole lot different if you'll put this into practice and you'll remind yourself and you'll plead the blood over yourself. If I can have the worship team come up, we're going to worship, but let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, it's a given, Lord, that we don't deserve one thing that you've given to us. Because we've all fallen short of your glory. But this day, right now, we're just declaring that you sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm a propitious man, Lord, because I'm under your blood. I thank you for the blood. If you're here, if you're watching online and you think, man, I'm just riddled with guilt. I'm riddled with condemnation. I'm riddled with all of these things. I would just tell you, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Everything that deserved the penalty of His wrath because of things that you've done, Jesus has already paid the price for. It's been appeased. And how do I enter into His love? Just by believing it. And believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He paid the price for my sins. And that God, when you raised Him from the dead, it proved that His blood sanctified me and made me whole. Lord, use me. Use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, let me know. Come on. If you're here in the room and you're praying that prayer, let me know. Maybe you're somebody who's been walked away from the Lord and you just say, well, you know, I'm trying in this way and I'm trying it that way and I'm just trying to find myself. Jesus said you'll never find yourself. The best thing you can do for yourself is to die to yourself and let Him live through you. So come back to Him this morning. Apply the blood to your heart and say, Jesus, here I am. Without one plea, without one good thing that I could say that could get me into your presence, I'm coming. But I'm coming by faith in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for your goodness over me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're going to sing and worship God here. When we're finished, we'll dismiss. If you need prayer, be happy to pray with you. God is in the house. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.